when we celebrate God's, we particularly celebrate God's goodness to us. And harvest used to be celebrated at the beginning of the harvest season on the 1st of August. And during that time, farmers would make loaves of bread from the new wheat crop, and they would give them to their local church. And these loaves were then used as communion bread during, at that time, a special mass thanking God for the harvest. But that particular way of celebrating harvest ended when, so we're told, when King Henry VIII broke away from the Roman Catholic Church. And since then, we've tended to celebrate harvest festivals at the end of the harvest season rather than at the beginning of it. Now, the tradition of celebrating harvest festival in churches as we know it and understand it today began back in 1843, so we're told, when a man, the Reverend Robert Hawker, invited his parishioners to a special Thanksgiving service for the harvest at his church in Morwenstow in Cornwall. And that way of celebrating harvest kind of grew over the years as harvest hymns, such as one of the hymns we sang this morning, "We Plough the Fields and Scatter," became popular, and also hymns like "All Things Bright and Beautiful." And that spread this annual custom of decorating churches with homegrown produce for harvest festival services. Now, I guess that's something that we've done in recent years, but much more recently, our way of celebrating harvest is very much as we have done today, with the need for and with the development of food banks. But whichever way we celebrate harvest time, it certainly is a period for us to pause and to take thought and to recognize God's goodness to us. I guess traditionally in harvest time, we reflect back over the year. We give thanks to God for all the ways that He has blessed and enriched our lives. We give thanks for God's goodness, not least of all for making it possible for us to, certainly in agricultural terms, to reap a harvest. It's probably easier if you're in a very rural context to celebrate harvest in a big way. But the principle's the same for us as city dwellers too. Because we are dependent on God for all that we are and all that we have. Now, the psalm that we've read this morning is not particularly, it's not specifically a harvest psalm. But it certainly reminds us that God is the giver of all that we have. Begins, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everything we see around us is God's. And what God does is He asks us to be stewards of it. And He allows us to benefit from the resources of the creation He asks us to be stewards over. In our best moments, I guess many of us will have a sense that all of this is God's and He graciously and generously shares it with us and allows us to enjoy it. But the reality of modern life is, or contemporary life, the reality of contemporary life is that we very easily become busy people. And our lives are busy and fast-paced. And I don't know about you, but when my life becomes busier and more quickly paced, it becomes easier for me to take things for granted. And it strikes me that one of the reasons why harvest time is important, harvest Thanksgiving is important and helpful for us, is that it gives us the opportunity to pause for a bit and to consider again who and what God is and to reflect upon how much we are dependent on him for our resources, for the gifts that we have, and the abilities that God has blessed us with. I find today that as I talk with some people, as I meet with some people, those who have lost abilities that they once previously had will on occasion refer to how they took for granted the ability that they previously had but no longer have. I think back to my mum. My mum died in February of this year, and for the last 6-7 years of her life, she was registered blind. And so when we went to visit her, and I would go in with my family, my wife and my two girls, until we spoke, she wasn't able to distinguish who was who between us. And even when my girls spoke, she wasn't then quite able to distinguish which one was which. And in the busyness of life, it's very easy for us to take for granted the things and the abilities that we have. And it strikes me that it's important for us to pause and to be thankful for and not take for granted the things that we are able to do in the everyday aspects of our life. It's important that we don't take for granted the ability that we have. If we have the ability to earn a living and put food on the table of our loved ones, to clothe our loved ones, to give them a roof over their head. It's important to be thankful for the ability to live independently, if we live independently without having to depend upon others. And as we get older, and maybe some of us who are in middle age like myself with elderly parents, we then begin to get into the whole matter of considering how people might be looked after and cared for and loved to the best of our abilities. It's important not to take for granted the fact that we're able to look out of an evening and see a beautiful sunset, or to hear the birds' song in the trees. It's important that we don't take these things for granted, but rather that we recognize that all of these things come to us as gifts from God, and the ability to do these things is a mark of God's kindness and his goodness to us. Very often we're so busy that we forget to stop and to look around and to recognize what we are and what we have. Too busy to recognize God's goodness to us in the past. And the danger is we can become unappreciative of God's goodness to us. Well, maybe that's just for me. Or maybe not. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but speaking as a Scotsman, but I'd like to give you a gift this morning. Now, please don't be too surprised by that. And my gift to you this morning is a little bit of time to stop and to reflect on how God expresses, or how God has been expressing, his goodness to you over the years. And I want to invite you to do that as an individual, because each of our individual circumstances are quite unique. And there'll be ways in which God has particularly blessed and enriched our lives for you that will be different to my own. But as well as doing that individually, I want to invite you to do that as a church. Because as we know today, you're coming to this time when, and this is the last, I believe, large service or collective service where everyone will be present together, before you enter into this time of refurbishing, of this time of building, extending, whichever word you choose to use. And I want you to invite you this morning to reflect back over the period of time, if you're one of the regulars here, to reflect back over the period of time that you've been coming here and to reflect on how God has maybe spoken into your life on different occasions, of maybe some of those spiritual milestones where God has met with you or in a particular way, and to give thanks to Him for that. So let's spend a moment or two then in quietness together. If it helps you to close your eyes, let me invite you to do that. I won't accuse you of sleeping. Let me invite you to reflect upon your own life, your own circumstances. And how God has blessed and enriched your life and continues to do so. What things are you particularly thankful for? And in the silence, let me invite you to say thank you to God for those things, for those people. And for those of you who are part of this church family, this church community here, let me invite you to take a moment or two to reflect back then together of how God has met with you over the years in this building. How God has blessed you, spoken into your life, spoken into the lives of loved ones. Those spiritual milestones over the years. And in the quietness to give thanks. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen to share so much with us. You've chosen to bless and to enrich our lives in so many ways. And we bring our thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. So we give thanks to God for the past, for his faithfulness in the past. This Psalm, Psalm 24, it reminds us that there is something that we can do in the present, something we all can do in the present, in that we are able to come near to God and to be in a relationship with him. We might be tempted to think that the God who created everything that we see around us and the God who sustains all of those things, the God who sustains the world in its place and its, in the universe, multi-universe, if there is such a thing, the God who created and who sustains all of those things, we might be tempted to think that he is beyond our reach. But this psalm says that each of us can approach God. We can come near to God and be in a relationship with him.
But it also very honestly acknowledges that the stuff in our life can prevent us from doing that. The stuff in our life can prevent us from being in the kind of relationship that God wants us to have and to know. Because that breaks our relationship with God. And this stuff, as I call it, the Bible uses different words. The Bible talks about our sin. It talks about that tendency that we have to rebel against God and to go off and to do things in our own way. This stuff is significant, and we all have stuff like that in our lives. But it's significant because it creates a barrier between God and ourselves. But one of the great messages, maybe the great theme of the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that this stuff that messes up our life and creates a barrier between us and God, it's not insurmountable. It's not a deal breaker, if you like. Because God invites us to come and to be honest and to be open with Him. And He invites us to come and to recognize the reality of our lives, to confess where we've gone wrong, and to ask for His forgiveness. And the great thing that God meets us at that very point. And so we can be cleansed. We can have clean hands, as the verse puts it. And we can have a pure heart. The reality is that God is big enough and great enough to meet each of us where we are and to forgive us when we turn to Him, confessing the wrong in our lives, asking Him to come and to forgive us and to turn around our lives and to give us a new direction, a new sense of purpose in life. And if that's never yet happened in your life, then the great thing about this particular psalm is that it reminds you and me and us all today that God is able and willing to do that. That the stuff in our life is not a barrier or need not be a barrier forever between us and God. And so on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, we give thanks to God who has blessed us and provided for us in the past. A God who invites us into a relationship with Himself in the present. And I hope this isn't overpressing the point, but it seems to me that there is also a sense in here which this begins to look to the future and remind us that God wants to engage with us in the future. I believe that the background to this psalm is set, well, it's obviously set in the Old Testament, in Old Testament times, but I believe that the background is that the Ark of the Covenant, now the Ark of the Covenant was a very special thing for the people of Israel. And they kind of viewed the Ark of the Covenant as representing the presence of God. We believe it was a gold-colored chest of some description. And inside this were the two tablets on which were written the Ten Commandments. And there were some other things in there that the people of Israel regarded as being holy and represented something of their history, their relationship with God. And on at least one occasion, this ark was taken in battle by the enemy of the people of Israel. So we believe that this psalm may have been written when they had recovered this Ark of the Covenant and were bringing it back to Jerusalem. And so the language here where it talks about the city gates opening up, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. The idea there is that it was like a two-way conversation between people inside the city wall and those outside who were bringing the ark. Now, very interestingly, the Message, a modern paraphrase of of the Bible puts these words like this, and this is it's a paraphrase, it's not a strict translation of the Old Testament Hebrew, but it puts these words in really dynamic terms. And as you see, it says, "Wake up, you sleepyhead city. Wake up, you sleepyhead people. King Glory is ready to enter. Who is this King Glory? God of the angel armies. He is King Glory." Now, God didn't live in the Ark of the Covenant. It was simply a reminder to these people of the reality of God and God's proximity with them. But I really like the idea of God coming, as it were, to enter into the city again. And the reality was that God was always there. And that we need to say that. But there's something about that sense of symbolism, about this being the prospect of a new beginning. Something different was about to take place. It was like a milestone for them. And I love the idea of God kind of being ready to enter the city and saying to the people, "Wake up, get ready. The God of angel armies is here at the city gate." Now, I don't want to overstretch the point, but I wonder, maybe is there something in the symbolism of this for you at this time in your own history? As you prepare to move out of your church building, for a bit anyway, at least into one of the halls, and maybe after that into a school. And we need to be theologically correct and not pretend that God isn't already here and God isn't already in the hall when you move into the hall. And when you move into the school, that God won't already be there. He will be. He's everywhere, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But it might be helpful to think of this in terms of it being a new chapter in your history. To maybe think symbolically of God being ready to enter into your community in a new way in the future. The God of angel armies, ready to enter into your community in a new way as you look to the future. And there will be a time when this, God willing, this building is refurbished or extended or whatever the correct terminology is. There will be a time when this will be different. But I want to try to say to you this morning, I'm not thinking particularly of God entering your community through your refurbished building. Because God doesn't live in buildings. We could build a million church buildings and the reality would be of God would be no greater and no less. But what I do want to encourage you to think about this morning is the possibility of God through you engaging in your community in a new way. You see, we're, well, maybe you're not, but I'm quite a simple person. And sometimes images and sometimes the prospect of something new and different in my mind can give me a sense that maybe something new and different might be happening or about to happen in the future. And I want to encourage you this morning to be thinking about that, about what God might be wanting to do in and through you in the future. Not primarily through a building, but primarily through yourselves and having a renewed sense and expectation for God to work. And of course, when you have your new building, then you'll want to use that in good and helpful ways to be serving in this community and to be showing and sharing God's grace. I'm about to finish. Let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the word liminality? It's not a disease, and I've not got it. Liminality is it's an interesting concept. There's a fancy definition for it, and I'm not going to give you that. But basically, a liminal place is a place of uncertainty between the ending of a previous phase or context and the beginning of a new phase or context. And in this liminal situation between the old and between the new, because it's a new and an unfamiliar situation, sometimes old habits and practices get lost because they're not actually particularly suitable for that new liminal phase. So to give you an example, I guess we could say that adolescence is a liminal phase. It's a liminal phase between childhood and between adulthood. So I don't know whether you guys, that resonates at all, I'm not sure. But anyway, so a liminal phase is a period of time between one thing that was the old thing and then whatever the new thing is going to be. Now, for us as Christians, we can be either terrified by that, or we can just plow on and do the same old thing and realize that what we've always done before isn't going to work any longer. Or what we can do is we can recognize that it can be a very productive phase if we are willing to turn to God and to seek to listen to God and to learn to depend upon God in a new and unfamiliar situation, rather than simply doing what we know and what we are familiar with. And I want to invite you this morning, to put it correctly, to be considering that maybe this next stage for you might be a liminal phase. Something that's different than the past, and not quite yet the new place where you're heading to. And I want you to encourage you to seek to listen to God in a very intentional way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through to 8 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know." I love that. That is great, isn't it? I'm a shocker for relying on what I think I know, and then finding out that what I thought I know, I haven't really known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way. This next bit is great as well. Well, it's all great, but you know. Never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord and refuse to do wrong. If you do, it will be like good medicine, healing your wounds and easing your pains. Is there a sense in which you are about to enter a place of liminality as you move out of your church building? You could just do exactly the same things in a different space. Or it could be an opportunity for you to ask God, what kind of people do you want us now to be? What kind of neighbours within this community do you want us now to be? In 2016... and 2017 and beyond. And try to discern what God might be saying to you as you ask that question. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He has provided for us and He has sustained us in the past. He invites us into a relationship with Him here and now in the present, no matter what the circumstances of our lives have been, no matter what our history is. And He looks to engage with us in new ways as we look to the future. So let us trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not rely on what we think we know.